Representative Uberlau, as I read the statute, I would interpret consumer to include the state. As I understand it, the statute applies to any person, and that could include the state.
For the committee's information, that may be something we want to flag. We have another Y2K bill coming to us from the Senate that deals with limitation of liability against state and public bodies. My intention today is get the overview, and we'll have this bill back with us next week. We'll put the, not in the same bill, but we'll have a Y2K day.
Because I have a lot of concerns, so I'll wait to bring those up.
That'd be fine, too, because that may be something to look at in amendment, because I think consumer usually means it connotes, personal, family, household use, you know, bought by somebody not for business. I think it's intended to be broader than that, to include business suits and leisure groups.
Will these witnesses be back next week when we have our Y2K day?
I'd be happy to have them. Jim, you'll be around.
Yeah. I certainly will be, and we'll try to make some professional counsel available, too.
Okay, because I can hold my questions so that...
That's fine, thanks. Representative Lowe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two things. First thing, for the record, I have a conflict on this case in that I have a family member who is a computer engineer and engaged in the endeavors of this sort. Secondly, I have a question about the scheme of the affirmative defenses and the... the requirement of the manufacturer to disclose, and then your comments about some systems already having experienced failure, et cetera. I'm wondering, when do you anticipate that the statute starts sticking under the scheme that you, just for anybody? It looks to me like because you have a notice to, defendant must offer to repair or send out notices or whatever, is that when it starts ticking? Or when it's, is that when the consumer knew or should have known that it was going to crash? And, or would the statute start ticking upon the crash event?
Representative Lowe, let me make sure I understand your question correctly. In determining when consumer or person, when they would be cut off from bringing a cause of action. How I read Section 2, Subsection 2, and Subsection 3, the statute of limitations runs when the crash occurs or when a defect should have been discovered by the consumer. It could be that there's an error or a failure, and the consumer could have easily discovered what its cause was related to.
However, my question, follow-up question, if I may.
Sure.
My question is that probably as soon as this thing is enacted, or maybe even already it's happened, that manufacturers would be sending out little notices. Hey, guess what? You may have a bug, and it may cause a crash. Is that when it starts ticking? In which case, it would sure behoove the manufacturers to like get the notices in the mail today or like last week, because that's gonna have a big effect upon when somebody's rights are cut off to seek a remedy.
If I can wait, as I see that, if you're looking where I, we're talking about when the 2 years from the date the person discovered or should have discovered that the computer product or service had experienced a computer date failure. I think we still have the event itself.
I do believe that there are some failures that are happening now.
Sure.
Blinks and crashes and little things that need quick fixes and that kind of thing, as I understand it. I'm not a expert in this area. The other question I had for you is you mentioned that there is a huge need for this this legislation in order to at least control or have an orderly process of the crush of cases that you're expecting. Can you tell us briefly what it is that you're expecting and what kinds of damages you might anticipate? What really are we talking about here?
Representative Lowe, what we were talking about, I anticipate that at least when September and then especially when the first of year of 2000 hits, that last that I read was something in, you know, one in three businesses will be seriously affected by a year 2000 related bug.
Is that a conservative estimate or a...
I'm not sure. But I do anticipate, you know, I have clients that call me every day and asking me what should we be doing? What should we be doing to make sure that we're going to roll over properly? In addition to clients calling me every day and asking me what should I be telling my customers about my products and systems, I anticipate our firm at least will get a significant volume of Y2K related litigation. And I will also tell you that it will be very difficult to support that litigation, not only in the courts, but for the law firms. For example, take a major client such as a hospital system, where your 2,000 problems could be prevalent throughout systems in terms of, you know, maybe life support systems to billing. And experience of failure, the first thing you as a claimant want to do is go in, file suit, and basically name everyone through the chain of command, and then leave it to the defendants to really point to each other and figure out who's responsible here. This can be very time-consuming, very costly for both sides. So I expect it to have a significant impact unless we encourage parties to seek some kind of out-of-court resolution and work together.
And do you think that the statute would be told in the event that breakdown is, as our chairman has suggested, catastrophic in the whole... We just can't even get the papers filed as lawyers because we can't communicate with one another, the courts, and the rest of the world.
I'll have 2 years to borrow somebody else's computer to progress.
Well, I don't even know where my old IBM Selectric is, so. I had hoped it was buried someplace.
Is it DOS-based?
Representative, do you have a question?
Yeah. How's the marketplace reacting to this? Is there insurance that companies can buy now? Is that a product that folks are looking at to help mitigate these types of things?
Representative Edwards, that's a very good question. There actually is insurance available out there, but I'll tell you, it's not worth purchasing. Usually what you have to pay is 75 cents on the dollar, was the last that I talked to someone in the industry. And to tell you the truth, what you're doing is just investing now for
in the event. You're buying your failure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
But that there's one other point I would like to bring, Chairman. The pleading with specificity section of the statute. We are in section 2. Let me make sure I've got the right section here. Subsection 1. Mm-hmm. That the claimant is required to plead with specificity what material defect exists in the computer product, whether it be software or hardware, that caused the computer date failure, and also damages that are alleged to have been suffered. I think this is important. As I said, I can see a situation where claimants, they experience a failure and may have experienced a failure because they didn't bother to really go forth and test their systems. Thought, you know, it's more hassle than it's worth. We'll sit back and see what happens. And if we have a crisis, then you sue everyone through the chain of command, and I'll let the defendants figure it out amongst themselves as to who is at fault here. All I know is I had an issue, I had a failure. I'll leave it to them to figure it out. And I think this section is needed for that reason.
Okay. That's fine. I've got a couple myself.
To think about.
Okay.
Actually, it was rather curious to me that this bill does not include an attorney's fees clause in this litigation, which made me think maybe this is a defense bill and everyone knows they're going to lose, so they don't want to get attorney's fees awarded against them.
I'm not sure that I have an answer to
that. Okay. Oh, that was probably section 13 on page 5 that
we're missing.
Didn't get to us. I have a question. Section 5, that speaks to actions for fraud, misrepresentation, libel, or other similar action. Help me out. What kind of actions based on a computer date failure? I guess I could see fraud and misrepresentation, but libel. How do we get to libel? That's not a problem. It's just a question.
What section are you in?
I'm sorry. Section 5. It's line 19 on page 3 of the bill.
Oh.
Libel and computer.
You don't need to answer that. I just, again, we'll have this back, but that's an issue that we need to...
Mr. Chairman, that's actually not an issue that I've thought about.
Yeah, think about it anyway. I'd be curious to know what we're doing with libel. And also in Section 6, Sub 1, and it's an affirmative defense to civil liability in tort. So this that, I guess, would be exclusive of contract actions. And I noticed that in Section 4 begins with the same kind of language, only it doesn't limit it to actions in tort. It just says defense to civil liability for damages. Do you know why the distinction there between tort and contract actions in those sections?
Mr. Chairman, there's a number of causes of action you could bring in the event there is a year 2000 failure. Mm-hmm. A tort, misrepresentation cause of action, a negligence cause of action, and then a more contractual UCC-based cause of action based on breach of warranty. You raise a good point in terms of why does Section 6 limited to tort, and I would say it should probably be broader to relate to both. To tell you the truth, I don't know why the statute has been drafted that way.
And also, they come back this way. My name's on it, but we're looking at it all kind of for the first time here too. So it's not uncommon to have questions come up with that, but that'd be something I would like to have some thought put to, because that does give an affirmative defense to actions based, it looks like, on compliance testing, and I can see where those would arise in contract, certainly as well as in tort. Okay. Anything else? All right. Thanks for a good overview.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and we'll certainly be willing to work with the committee on specific issues, amendments, deletions, and additions.
Sure.
And are certainly open to that.
Check with me maybe late in the day or on Monday. We can talk about some of this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone who wants to speak? Okay. Anybody else wants to speak on this? Again, we don't have a sign-up sheet because we're not in public hearing technically, but if there's somebody else that would like to speak to this bill. Okay. Representative Lowe, do you have one more? Do you want to ask?
Exemplary damages.
Sorry, I'm looking at the damages section on page 4, looking at exemplary damages, which is not kind of an unusual way we put it according to our statutory scheme.
Normally we call those punitive. But
correct. Yeah. And I'm wondering what that's all about. And looking at the damages schemes, I don't see... Okay, well...
Compensatory in Section 7 and exemplary or punitive damage in Section 8. Well, we can talk about that, too, at least in terminology.
Okay, thank you.
Something to fund the Crime Victims Fund, as we all know. Okay, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3605. Thank you for bringing that bill forward today. I'm sorry, 3245. Next we have, I'm still waiting for Representative Williams. 3304, Representative Werbelow, do you want to? You can do it from there.
I want to bring somebody up. From all the way from Ashland.
Okay.
Really the inspiration behind this bill.
I didn't say work session. You didn't say work session.
Okay, well, we're in work session on House Bill 3304.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm Judy Werbelow, just a representative from District 52. And I guess I'll have to start out with an apology because this is bill has had some problems in drafting. We have been working with many different people on this bill, talking with them, the state police, the Deschutes, Lincoln, Portland area, towing companies, and so forth. And so we proposed some amendments to the original bill, sent them down to Legislative Council, received them back this morning, and they, except for a small section, really didn't look like completely unrelated much of it to what he had sent down.
So can we have an extension of time on this bill, too?
Right. And I understand they're under a great deal of pressure. So what we tried to do, just so that you can at least look at it in the meantime, is my office actually, on my letterhead, typed up something, what we were actually trying to do with this. Also in your package, you have a letter from Congressman Blumenauer, who supports this bill and has been working on the same type of thing on the federal level, and he has attached a list of people who've written an open letter on this issue. And I'm going to turn this over in a minute to Angela Barber. Angela,
us though.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Barbara, Angela has become married, and I know her as Angela Barber, and I guess I continue to think of her that way. But Angela was a student at SOU and had a great future in front of her, and was hit by a drunk driver, was severely injured, had severe neurological damage, and the state she has progressed to is rather a miracle, and also a lot of hard work by the medical personnel, by Angela and by her family. And there was a period of time that no one ever expected her to be, as you will see and hear her today. But she came to me several years ago and asked me if I'd work on this. We did begin it last term, but weren't able to complete it. There are a lot of people that are involved, and so it's been really important as we worked on this to get everybody, take care of everybody's needs. And we think we have, but there will be people here to testify on it today, but I would like Angela to tell you a little bit about herself and what she's experienced.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm here today. Oh, sorry. I'm Angela Barber Ostbo. I'm here today to ask you to pass a vehicle confiscation law. I am Angela Barber Ostbo. 7 years ago, I was on my way home from work when a drunk driver hit me and almost killed me. At that time, I was a college graduate, and I worked full-time, I paid my taxes, and I was working towards a master's degree. Anyway, when I did get hit by the drunk driver, I was stopped at a yield sign in Ashland, and the drunk driver failed to turn on either of the streets. He went straight into me at the yield sign. I almost died. I was in a coma for over a month, and I got a closed head injury now that I'll have to live with for the rest of my life. I mean, in spite of having all this good therapy and all this good help, I still can't read a decent speed. I mean, my husband recently gave me a really short article to read, and I couldn't. He was just amazed at how long it took me. Anyway, back to the long road of recovery. Before I could swallow, it was 1.5 months. Before I could chew my own food, it was 1.75 months. 2 months before I could even talk, and it was 9 months before I could even walk, and even today I have to concentrate on walking correctly. I mean, I also have to concentrate on social appropriateness. And after 1.5 years, I could read. Can you imagine the frustration of thinking slowly because you have no direct neuron connection pathway in your brain anymore? Having severe memory problems? I mean, you guys have planners too, but mine's extra extensive. It covers a whole lot of things that yours doesn't. Because with my brain injury, I need the help. I mean, I have to spend a lot of time in it every day, just working on it. Remember how hard I was working for a future? Now I'm wondering if I'll ever even be able to pay taxes. And it hurts me that I can't, because I believe very strongly in schools. And that master's degree in psychology I was working towards, well, I doubt that'll ever be able to happen. I took a class on audit at SU now that I had already had to see what I could do, and I only managed to finish 1/3 of the work in one class. So I don't think I'll ever be able to get that master's degree or anything. You support me now. And you support the drunk driver in jail. It has been about $1.5 million for my support. And the drunk driver in jail has cost you $500,000, and 2 in 5 people in their lives will be killed by a drunk driver. No, will be. Yep. Will be in a drunk driving accident. This is the injustice I live with every day, especially the fact that my injury was not his first conviction. I mean, he was driving with a suspended license, and he even hurt someone else before me, not nearly as bad. His basic insurance paid my first hour in the hospital. All of you paid the rest. If his vehicle would have been confiscated,